Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. One of the most beautiful days I can remember in the last couple of years. Just gorgeous out there. If you are getting out of a meeting or something, or you're just tuning in for the first time of the day, Iran has launched missiles against Israel. Seems to be done now. Everyone seems to be acknowledging that they've given the all clear. We're kind of waiting to see, you know, was anything damaged? Was anyone killed? Was anyone injured? Israel has said that they will retaliate. And if you know anything about Israel, they will retaliate. I wouldn't expect it today or tomorrow. They're going to take their time and do it the way they want to do it. And we'll be covered. So here's what we're going to do. Here's our plan for the show. When I'm finished talking here, we're going to move on with a normal non-Iran attacking Israel show. At 2 p.m. when the crossover is over, Colonel McCausland is going to join us from CBS. And then Rabbi Shmuel is going to talk about the human side of it. His kids live there. As we speak, they're in Tel Aviv and across Israel. He'll be on at 3 p.m. So, kind of took your guys' whole show today, I'm guessing.
Yeah, about around 11:30-ish, yeah. I think, is when it all started. And we knew there was the report earlier in the morning, and the White House had said that, you know, to expect it, and didn't know if it would happen for sure, but, you know, it did. And what the IDF is saying at the moment, and things could change, of course, once they are able to do an assessment, but they had not heard reports of any casualties. Mm-hmm. They don't know what sort of damage there's been. Iron Dome took a lot of, intercepted a lot of the rockets that came through. So if that's all true, great. That's the best possible outcome if there are no casualties. However, there was also the shooting simultaneously that happened. And the latest report was that 8 people were killed there, and I think at least 8 others injured. Amy, you said I had read somewhere that it was 17. So you know how this is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things could fluctuate, and more details come out. But if it ends up that from the rockets nobody was killed, that's great. And now it's a question of what the response looks like.
Yeah, so much of it is, from my outside non-professional opinion, just high-level gamesmanship. Because, like, the last time Iran did this a few weeks ago, when they're like, hey, we're going to send over these missiles, and they're going to be real slow and easy to knock down, you know, like, we have to save face, but we don't want any smoke from you.
They don't want a full war.
Exactly. And this one, was it more than that this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were direct missile attacks. They wanted to launch hundreds. I don't know how many the official
IDF
number
is saying
is.
Now 180.
Yeah, I'd seen 181. The idea was to overwhelm the Iron Dome. We know that they targeted Haifa, Tel Aviv, and Jerusalem. We know that some did land. I know one hit a school. We don't know where, you know, they have landed. That we're waiting for that information to come out. We know it's done. We know that that Israel's operation systems, their defense, operations were but fully engaged. All of their defense operations were fully engaged. And I think, I have obviously a lot of thoughts on this. Do hope. I think there were evil protesters during all these free Palestinian protests with the pro-Palestinian protests with those who were obviously like wearing the Hamas flags or Hezbollah or ISIS. But I do hope if they were protesters who were just ignorant or intellectually lazy, chanting from the river to the sea, that's what this means. From the river to the sea means the complete destruction of Israel and elimination of all of the Jewish people. And so if you are ignorant, intellectually lazy, or both, might be a good time to check yourself before you join something that screams from the river to the sea. I also know that the Israeli people do not live in fear. They're next level resilient. The U.S. should continue. It is helping Israel in its defense systems right now, and it should continue to do so. But Israel will defend itself even if the whole world is against it, which all the countries around it are against it. It's the size of New Jersey already fighting a war on 7 different fronts, from Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran. Iran backing all of these terrorist organizations, and they won't live in fear either. Americans we'd lose our minds if Canada launched missiles. Israel deals with it every day. The Iron Dome kicks in. There are you know, now this is on a, you know, bigger scale, but they've dealt with it every day. I was saying when I was a kid, you know, people, what do they have, like trolls or Tamagotchis or whatever, you know, those are my memories of first grade. Israelis went to first grade and they, you know, had gas masks because that's when Saddam Hussein was threatening biological warfare. And they would decorate him like, I'm going to bedazzle. My friend bedazzled her gas mask case that she would, you know, carry around to school. So each kid had their own. They have been attacked. And they will defend themselves, and they will also not live in fear. And I think that's really important because the terrorists have already lost. Iran's already lost. Hezbollah's already lost. Hamas is already lost because not only are you not going to defeat the Israeli people, but you'll never defeat their spirit, and they will not live in fear.
Giant question. They've been dealing with this far before I was born, but certainly my entire life. Does anyone in the room see a time when this isn't the thing?
Well, I mean, I don't, because, you know,
not while we're alive.
They talk about like, oh, a ceasefire. There's no ceasefire. In some ways, you could say the Middle East is complicated, but in other ways, it's not. There is an ideology out there that wants the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people. And if you are fighting an enemy whose ultimate goal, it's written in the charter for Hamas or in Hezbollah, is to end the state of Israel and to kill Jewish people, then no, there's no peace until those groups and that ideology is defeated. So what you have is you have these waves of violence and conflict, and Israel defends itself. It's taken out the leadership of Hamas. IDF is saying they've uncovered tunnels from Hezbollah along the Israel-Lebanon border because it looked like Hezbollah wanted to get into Israel and attack, kind of like October 7th, like Hamas did. They're constantly fighting. They have to dismantle these terrorist groups, and then the ideology, pernicious though it is, will keep sprouting back up again, and there'll be a conflict, and then it has to be quelled. So, no, as long as you have the ideology of complete destruction of the state of Israel and the Jewish people, Israel will have to keep defending itself.
Wheels, Andrew,
I'd say, zooming out, too, I think that Amy's on the, she's 100% on the right track. The only way it could change is if all of the powers in the world were to agree. If China, India, Russia, obviously Europe is already in agreement that people need to leave Israel alone. And I don't mean everybody in Europe. I'm just saying Europe as a whole, right? The governments, the United States. If you could bring a few more of the biggest countries in the world to bear and have them, everybody agree, listen, we're not doing this anymore. Iran, we're not doing this anymore. Saudi Arabia, we're not doing this anymore. If you keep doing it, we will shut you out from the rest of the world's business. You will not have money. We will not deal with you.
Why do you think that hasn't happened?
Well, because everybody's selfish. I mean, China only cares about China. India's got its own set of problems, right? They've got their own border disputes. They've got immense poverty at huge numbers. I think a lot of it is, you know, that people are more, some of the bigger countries are more focused on themselves. They don't all have what we have, which is basically comfort, generally speaking, right? I mean, we have political disputes, but we don't have the same kind of abject poverty that they have in India, as an example. Obviously, China is its own thing, and they would rather be their own thing. They would rather not concern themselves with other issues. So that's why I think Amy's right. It's not going to change in our lifetime, because I don't think that larger dynamic's going to change. If it's one of those wishful thinking, like, boy, can't all the big guys just come together and say, stop it? They could, but they're not going to, because the circumstances in each place are so unique and different.
But they'll always be, you know, the history of the world, there will always be evil leaders, evil powers, and those powers will fund terror. I mean, and they will,
because they benefit from the outcome, right?
But sometimes they benefit from the outcome, but also it's driven by an ideology. I mean, this is not drop off pamphlets and let people know, hey, it's great if women can vote and here's democracy and education. It doesn't work that way. That was our problem in Afghanistan. We were so behind in understanding ideology that is deeply rooted for centuries. You can't just say, hey, have you ever tried voting and letting women drive? It's great. That's not how it works. It is a deeply rooted religious, radical religious ideology that you can't just walk in and fix and say it's about education. And again, whether it was the Taliban, I mean, look what's going on, what they're doing to women there. Yeah. Killing them, mutilating them, making their voices, their faces, their laughter, their singing illegal. That is a radical religious ideology that will that has been persistent through centuries, and you can't. It just doesn't go away. It doesn't go away.
No, it won't. But again, the only path to it is weakening those regimes to the point where resistance can happen. Right? The Taliban has such power in Afghanistan. You can't. They're the numbers and the weaponry doesn't exist for people inside to resist. For those that want to, not that everybody does. I mean, the percentages are split.
Did we have a lasting positive effect in Afghanistan, or did it go right back to where it was?
Seems to have gone right back.
I talked to this expert out at Oxford University, and she was saying, like, we were dropping pamphlets, but they, you know, there's poems that are memorized for centuries about, right, the glory of jihad and of martyrdom and all of these things that, like, again, a pamphlet or a soccer ball with democratic phrases on it is not going to fix. And yes, I mean, you look at Iran, well, why aren't we doing more? Well, I mean, look at when, you know, we had the Iran nuclear deal, like, okay, well, don't make nuclear bombs for like 10 years. Like, that's what we told them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, I know, like, well, we don't want to escalate. We don't want war with Iran. Oh, I get it. But you can understand here how it's not like we're really exerting any true influence in keeping Iran from using its power for evil. They're burning the American flag in their parliament in Iran, chanting death to America along with death to Israel, and secretly trying to enrich uranium. And we're like, how about you buy us 10 years? Don't do it for 10 years.
At this point, does either of the political parties in our country line up with your opinions on the Middle East?
Well, I mean, right now you do have the Biden administration is, I mean, I could say I would use stronger language, but they are supporting Israel and it's defensive. I don't like the recent comments about, like, I feel like even this morning when it said, okay, Iran, there's going to be severe consequences. Don't attack. Well, they attacked. So what? I don't have any real faith. What does severe consequences mean? I understand.
Did you want them to say nothing?
No, I don't. I don't know. What we know is I have several, you know, you could go back over the course of the months of the Biden administration saying, don't do it or else. And then they do it. And there's no or else. Don't do it or else.
Well, what do we want the or else to be from the American perspective?
Well, that's what I'm trying to answer is that's why I'm glad they continue to support Israel. I don't know from an American standpoint exactly what it should be. Something stronger than the JCPOA with the, you know, Iranian nuclear deal, which they were kind of skirting anyway. I don't have the answer for that. So my point is, do I agree? I feel like some of the louder voices in both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have shown support for Israel. I do feel like that. So the United States as a whole, yes. And Jake, this Biden's security, I'm forgetting the name. Anthony Blinken, but also oh my gosh,
we know him.
Yeah, you know, he has made some strong statements supporting Israel. So I am glad to hear those statements. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know. But so far, publicly, we're continuing to support them, and that's good.
Anyone else?
I mean, it doesn't it feel like the same conversation all the time? Because it's not as Amy outlined.
Like
it's
so
just,
many of our issues.
Yeah, it's just. There's no practical solution. If there was a practical solution, we'd have it. The solutions would be essentially all-out battle, and who knows where that leads and what it breeds for the future.
Mm-hmm. I think this is why people talk about hard decisions, right? Is it going to be a hard decision? And I think a lot of times, especially in America, where we don't have to make a lot of hard decisions, we think a hard decision is between the good and the bad. No, a hard decision is between two bad solutions or between two good solutions. You could say, oh man, they're both so great. That's a hard decision. But generally a hard decision is between two bad solutions, because if you have a good solution and a bad solution, it's no longer a hard decision. That's why with what Israel is dealing with ever since October 7th have been hard decisions. They have nothing but bad solutions. Do you know what I mean? Like available to them. Not that they're making all these bad decisions. I don't mean that. I just mean there's no solution where no one gets hurt and everything ends quickly and peacefully. They have in front of them a series of never-ending difficult decisions that are going to be messy, that are going to be tragic, but they've got to do something to defend themselves.
I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to go on to kind of the normal show. And if anything happens, we will let you know. We're keeping our eye on it. The newsroom's keeping their eye on it. And then, as I said, at 2 p.m., Colonel Jeff McCausland, who's a friend of both of our shows, will be on. And then at 3 p.m., our buddy Rabbi Shmuel Greenwald will be on to talk about the human side of this. DGS 125 related, something I have been wanting to ask you guys for a few days. It's a thought I had. Kevin and I can get along, and we can probably get along the rest of our lives. Kevin and Amy and I can probably get along. You throw you into the mix, we can probably get along. But there seems to be something with human nature that you reach a certain number, and you can no longer get along. Does that make sense?
Certain age? Or amount
no,
of people.
No, number
amount
of people. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it just seemed, and we're talking about, are we just screwed in the Middle East and for the rest of our lives and my kids and my grandkids' lives, we're screwed? If we are, so much of it comes down to that supposition that there's only a certain number of people, probably a pretty small number, that can really truly get along.
It's an interesting point.
Well, I don't know. If there's just one person you do not like, I don't know that you can get along with them if it's just the two of you. Ever.
I mean,
if that's right,
but it has to be.
You and Osama bin Laden were hanging out. I mean, I don't know if you're like kind of, it's,
I was gonna say, it has to be very extreme.
Because, like, Europe, they didn't get along. But then they worked things out and they got along. It has to be extreme. It has to be like, I don't want you to live.
Right.
That's when you can't get along. You can't get along if somebody's religion or extremist ideology says, I don't want you to live. Well, then you can't get along.
And for how long, too? I mean, it's a hard thing to do on perspective, but like for so many centuries, the state of the world was just constant all-out war. It's not that now, but it's ever present because we're seeing it. So 200 years ago, if this was happening somewhere in the world, people in the United States and the colonies wouldn't even know about it.
And you know,
it's not a part of your life.
One of the big differences back then is we didn't have a 30,000 foot view. We knew our local tribes were fighting, our local clans were fighting. Now we have such a 30,000 foot view. We see everything, we know everything, and it doesn't seem to have helped that much. Welcome back, guys. DGS 133. I just had the most random thought. And you know, when I have a random thought, I have to say it. God, I don't know how long ago this was. I know how many pounds ago it was, but probably 15 years ago, I was doing lives for Powerhouse Gym, and they were training me. And my highest weight was about 240. At that time, I was about 210. Now I'm about 175, just to give you an idea. And so I was about 210, 215 at the time. And Debbie, who's just a backbreaker, was my trainer. And she just worked me out so hard and would weigh me every single time I came in. And I gained a couple pounds because I'd eaten like a whole pizza and a bunch of donuts.
And just sodium. It's water weight.
And so we're working out and she goes, I don't want to call you out like this, but did you eat by chance yams? Because
what?
When
yams?
I eat yams, I always put on like a couple pounds of water weight. And I'm like, you got me.
Yeah. I've been eating
had some sweet taters. Just like,
did
man.
You really blame it on the yams?
Oh, I let her blame it on the yams.
Yeah. You didn't actually do it. You just allowed that
Thank
to be.
You.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of all things, why did she know it was yams?
I guess that's her poison. You know, I guess that was her.
Is a yam officially different than a sweet potato?
No one knows.
No, I don't think so. I think they're the same
I think
thing.
It's the same.
Yeah. I feel like it is different.
No,
I don't think so.
In my mind, it's the same.
I had a friend who was very thin. Also, an Ironman triathlete, and was battling colon cancer, and was radiation and chemo, and she was losing weight. And the doctor's like, you got to lose weight. She said Pop-Tarts put weight on her like you wouldn't believe. She went to Pop-Tarts. She said Pop-Tarts was a great way for her to gain weight. Which says
can
a lot
confirm.
About Pop-Tarts.
Well, how many a day did she have?
I don't know, but she said she would try to eat them because she'd get in trouble, you know, from her doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
She said it was either that or rocks in her pocket.
Because he said she had to gain weight, not lose weight.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It grosses me out when, like, and for some reason I'm just thinking of Matt Damon. He had to gain a bunch of weight for a role. And he said the first week was amazing. He said after that it was one of the worst experiences of his life.
Oh,
yeah.
I was thinking of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. There was the Fat Max season where he, the one character on the show, decided to get really fat for it. And he was much bigger than normal. And he said in an interview once that he did it by, or at least part of what he did, was he would get a gallon of ice cream. Mm-hmm. And he would leave it out on the counter to melt all day.
No.
And then he would drink it.
Drink it?
Oh,
yes.
Gross. No.
And he said he would do that. I don't know if it was every day. I think it was every day. But that's how he put on the weight.
I feel
Can
like
you imagine?
Either putting on a ton of weight or losing a ton of weight for a role is just so unhealthy. Like, unless you're very, very thin and you need to put on weight, or you're very overweight and you need to lose weight, okay, that's one thing. But I mean, just like the decision of I'm at my body weight and I'm going to change it dramatically, I think it alters you forever. I know, is it Mila Kunis?
Mila Kunis.
She was in Black Swan. She said if she could go back, she wouldn't do it because she lost so much weight for that film. And she said she never like gained it back right. Her hormones were messed up. She said she really messed up her body doing that film.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what like Christian Bale did for The Machinist, where he was...
Oh, yeah.
He was like 110 pounds yeah. or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that's dangerous.
That's dangerous, yeah.
But obviously, I don't know how he feels, but he bounced... After that, he ended up doing Batman, where he's big again and all that. So it's... But I know that all of them will say that that's basically the hardest part of their job, is if you have to get to a certain look for a specific role, whether it's much bigger or much smaller.
So I wanted to run something past Chris and Amy. This was not anywhere close to good enough for a show segment yesterday. It's definitely not good enough to bring up a second day in a row, but I got it in my craw. I decided that it would be better if kids were on their vacation, not during the summer, but during September, October, November, and they go back after Christmas. The weather's better. You're going through the holidays. You got all the time in the world to play football and basketball. And these guys didn't like it.
So I heard this live. Big listener. I wanted to drive off the road. A horrible idea.
You couldn't agree more.
I was like,
why didn't I think of this?
I was so mad. I was like driving up my car. I agree with Rachel and Andrew. Like, you have nothing to look forward to. Like, the Christmas season, it breaks it up. You have Thanksgiving and then a Christmas break. February is hard enough to get through on its own. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have summer, I'd be so sad.
Maybe I just wanted... I just want to be off in October. Is that so much?
I would love to be off from October to December.
But when you're talking school, you're basically off for most of December. You're off
for college, especially.
College, you're off for a month. Yeah.
They have fall break and,
we didn't get no fall break.
The college schedule is amazingly easy.
The college December, that Christmas break is the best. Oh my God, is it so good?
You're done like mid December and you don't go back until like the 8th of January.
Guess what I just did?
What'd you did?
Put a deposit down on the place that Phoebe is going to live next year.
What?
That's how crazy college is
right
now.
She's not going to stay in the mansion?
No, they don't really encourage that. It's more for sophomores.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, she's ruined. She's burned a lot of bridges. She's a glover.
It happens very quickly.
Because you didn't get her that tumbler.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Too many people in the mansion to get along.
Yeah. Right. but yeah, like they found a house and they're like, we have to say yes today.
Yeah. That's how college towns are for sure.
A year away.
I don't remember it being that early. Maybe that's just how it is now.
You went to school at a time when everyone wasn't insane.
Right. But also, it's some of it, too, is how married are you to a specific place, right? Like, if you see this particular, like if it's a really nice place and it's high demand, you do need to do it. If it's a normal, average apartment, you probably don't.
But also, you're probably talking about much nicer apartments that they have at KU now, as opposed to the apartments we had where the carpet was sticky.
Yeah. Everything's nice. Yeah. Everything's nice these days.
Like the carpet at the college apartments, most of them, some were really nice, but a lot of the older ones that everybody stayed in had carpet like this hard carpet we have in the studio, but it was old.
Yeah.
And it was gross. And people lived that way.
You know, we weren't in a college town, right? I mean, we were in a big metropolitan area in Miami, so... If you weren't too picky, you had a lot of choices if you just showed up in the fall and wanted to go find an apartment complex or something.
So this is one of those things that old guys say, like, but it seemed like a rite of passage in our generation to live in a terrible yes. frat house or
yeah, it's good
awful
for you.
Apartment.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yeah.
I remember when Nick moved into his apartment, I told him, because it was like black marble, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, dude, man. You'll never live in a place like this again until you're 40.
Yeah, I think it's probably good for you at some point to live that way.
Yeah.
Because at the time, it seems fine.
Care when you're 19.
You're happy that you don't live at home.
Yes, 100%.
So it doesn't matter. You're living with your friends, and you have your own room. It's awesome. Nobody's telling you what to do or where to be. It's great, right? But to go back and look at those places, oh, God.
My place I lived was nice, but I just couldn't stand my roommates. My mom and dad.
You had all the amenities, though.
God, I didn't want to party.
Had a meal plan.
Oh, boy, did I.
Like, our dorms, like, my freshman and sophomore year lived in dorms. They weren't horrible, but you were basically in a cinder block square. Mm-hmm. That was a dorm.
Uh-huh.
It was just cinder blocks all around you, one window with hurricane shutters, and, like, two crappy little
hurricane
tiny beds.
Shutters.
And then you move to the apartments on campus, which you're describing. They're old, and they're kind of filthy, and they're, you know, they've been around forever. And we moved off campus, and it was like luxury. It was like, they actually cleaned the carpets before we moved in here. It was nice.
This might be a big city thing more, but I don't know if you guys ever lived in a place where, like, a friend of mine went to school in D.C. and went to law school there, and he talked about, like, they had rats in the walls.
Mm.
You know, you would get home and turn on the light, and the rats would go scurrying, and cockroaches.
For us, it was the palmetto bugs.
What are palmetto bugs?
Basically giant cockroaches. They're like,
oh, my God.
We had one, I'm not even kidding you, in our baseball apartment, because, you know, everybody that's a baseball player is really clean and they do their dishes up. We had a palmetto bug, I swear to you, was like this big, and we called him the guardian, and he just usually sat above the main door. I mean, he was like 3 inches long. He was huge.
That's disgusting.
And they fly.
And you guys just accepted him?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, the guardian.
He's our pet.
We named him, and like
guardian.
He can stay. They don't bite, so.
This reminds me of the...
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to throw up.
Very intellectual discussion we had earlier that Chris Ranji and I are very different on, that when he buys an article of clothing, brand new, you have to wash it.
Yeah.
And I'm capable of buying another man's jeans on eBay.
No.
Oh.
And just throwing them on.
That's absolutely wild to me that you could do that.
Yeah.
For Dave to do that?
It should be illegal.
There should be somebody in his home seeing if he washes it first. I agree with you. Like a hall monitor.
Rachel, you should like text him and check up on that.
Yeah.
Rodney's over here saying,
no, the worst
Rod, you're over here saying like Dave needs a residential assistant.
Yes.
He needs an RA.
You need an RA.
Yeah.
The worst thing he
place.
Did was a couple years ago, he bought used Birkenstocks,
no.
which, as we know, mold to your feet. So they were molded to another man's feet.
Come on.
And then Dave's like wearing them to work and he's like, why do my feet hurt so bad? I'm like, because they're molded to another guy's toes.
Least comfortable I've ever had. And Rachel's like, Dave. you're literally stepping into another man's footprint.
How can you do that? Oh my God!
It doesn't bother me. It should.
Yeah, no.
I see it. I get it.
We were talking about when this came up. I then mentioned Jack Reacher, the first one, the Tom Cruise movie, where you know he's going to where he needs to go because he realizes he's needed, and he goes to a Goodwill or whatever
thrift stores.
Finds a couple of things off the rack, changes in the thrift store, takes the clothes he was wearing and throws them in the bin on the way out.
Yeah.
And he just wears what was in the thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, when I watch that movie, the entire time I'm just thinking, he has not washed these clothes yet.
Yeah.
They've been washed.
He's wearing these clothes. Oh. He's beating people up. They have not been washed.
Yeah.
It's gross.
I could do that.
You could?
No.
Yeah.
So you're on my side.
Yeah. I mean... I've done it both ways where I've bought new stuff and washed it, or I've just bought new stuff and put it on, like, whatever my mood is.
Well, I do it for a couple of reasons. One, if I buy something new, I don't know who's tried it on first. And second, there are, like, when they make them and they dye things, there are still kind of residual chemicals in some clothes. So I just wash them just to be safe.
I have definitely just put stuff, taken it and put it on.
I mean, again, this is one of those where I know you're right. I'm not going to die on this.
Dave's not going to explain why it's not.
But define right, Dave. Are you okay?
No, this
do you
is
have
fine.
Any injuries or illnesses lasting because you did that?
I don't feel good today.
That's me.
No, this is fine. The clothes are fine. Everybody grow up. Being adult, it's a shirt. The shirt is fine if you don't wash it before you wear it.
Andrew,
it's
off
fine.
The top rope.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I've been listening to this.
People's
like,
elbow.
Okay.
I can't do batting cages if you like. They have the public helmets. It grosses me out.
See, that's the thing. If
what
we're
going to
start doing
the
that.
The sweat disease?
If we're going to start doing that, then you're ruling out movie theaters. You're ruling out grocery stores.
Oh, I bet you won't bowl either.
I feel like going to a grocery store is different.
Do you know how many people have handled the produce before you?
Just live your life.
And you're going to eat that.
You wash it first.
With water. Wrapping up this first hour here on DGS. Dave had to take off, man. He's not feeling very good.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
He doesn't have the COVID. I did not give him the COVID. I want to be clear. I did not give Dave the COVID. But his little stomach thing going, and you don't want
to
be talking on the radio when you got
power
a little stomach.
Through, and then it's like, okay, I can't do this.
That's one of the things that's really difficult to power through. Is anything related to stomach pains and all that kind of nonsense?
So Chris is going to stick around until 5.
Yeah, Chris is going to be here till 5. Amy's really going to stay till 4.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you.
Amy's going to take off at 4,
allegedly.
No, I'm staying till 5 tomorrow.
Ranj allegedly has a car test to take.
Yeah, I got to take my car test.
Oh, did you study?
Yeah.
No, I got to get the emissions test.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you had to take a car test.
I have to take a car test?
Yeah. Amy calls it a car test. No, the car is taking the test.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, to make sure that I can have my new
have
license
sure
plate
it
sticker.
It's like, oh, you're 7.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't need a new sticker.
We were talking about this, Ranj, because I used to live up in the Chicago area, and obviously, you know, you lived up there too, and you're just going across the river because your car is still registered over there. The way that it's done in Illinois is so much easier and efficient than here. On the Missouri side.
Yeah, because you have to go to a garage here and you have to
set
then
up an
take
appointment
it to a,
and do all that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just a drive up facility.
Yep.
You don't have to make an appointment. You drive up, you pull in. If you might wait in a little bit of a line of other cars. You go in, you do the thing. They're like, okay, good to go. Go inside, get your sticker and leave.
So,
That's it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Here it's 2 steps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long how long are your emissions test results?
I forgot what it is.
Because
it's like every 3 years or something.
Some of it depends on the age of the car and the mileage.
I mean, between the time you get your emissions test to the time you get your plates renewed. Okay, because it's 30 days in Missouri. I didn't know if it was.
No, there they do it all in one place.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Right. So when you're done, they're saying, you passed. Here's your stickers.
Yeah, you go inside. There's a place inside. You walk inside the building and then you...
That's what got me last time. Because of our 2-step process that you said, I waited too long.
And then you had to go back and do the emissions test
because
again.
Because you have to go get the test, right? You have to go do that at a garage. But then you eventually have to go to the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go in person.
Yep.
And here's my test and here's my money and here's all that.
Also, here's a public service announcement. At least in Missouri, you have to bring proof of insurance.
Mm.
Well, everybody now, as Ranj and I discussed this week, everyone has proof of insurance on their phone.
Yep.
Doesn't count in the DMV. So I had to go home and print out.
That is some.
Print out on like an 8x11. So my insurance card was 8x11.
Oh, I thought they.
Was this good enough for you?
I could have sworn they let me just send it to their printer from my phone.
Well, maybe.
They didn't offer that as an option to me. And she said, well, here it is. I was like, can you take a copy from my phone if I give you my phone, which never give them your, please your phone.
Yes, but, that was a main thing.
I said, can you just copy it? And she's like, nope, you got to print it out. I said, okay, because it will be printed on 8x11 sheet paper. It's not going to be a real card. She's like, no, that doesn't matter.
Right, right.
So I printed out this real, like a doofus.
As Amy was talking about this, again, here's a lesson. Do not ever give your, if you're pulled over, do not give your cop your phone. Do not hand it over to him or her unless they have a warrant. Ever.
Man, you're doing some bad stuff.
Well.
That's what Brad Young told us.
I believe.
He's our legal expert, Kevin.